imagine you're in the intensive care unit at the bedside of a loved one, and all of a sudden you think there might have been a mistake in the care they're getting. Do you speak up, even if you're afraid that speaking up might alienate the medical team treating your loved one? Well, with us to discuss is Carrie Goldberg, editor of WBUR's Common Health. Hello, Carrie.
Hello, Meghna. And yes, this is a very delicate question that you've just posed. And a new study out of Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center documents just how delicate it is.
Okay, meaning what?
So the researchers surveyed more than 100 family members in the ICU and more than 1,000 online about whether they'd feel comfortable speaking up about various issues, from medication questions to hand washing. This was the first study of its kind in an ICU. And here's lead researcher Dr. Sigal Bell on what they found.
One of the key take-home messages was that among patients and families currently experiencing an ICU stay, over half expressed some hesitancy to speak up about common ICU concerns, including a possible mistake in care.
And the reasons they gave for their hesitancy about speaking up were interesting. About a third of them said, I don't want to be labeled as a troublemaker. Mm-hmm. Another third said, the team is too busy, which sounds very plausible. And a third said, I don't know how to raise my concern or who to talk to. And other reasons included, I'm afraid of seeming like I don't understand medical concepts. And also, this one's very striking, yeah. I don't want to harm my relationship with the members of the medical team.
I totally get it. I mean, raising concerns is always fraught in any environment, but the stakes are just so much higher in an ICU, life and death. I can really understand why people might be thinking twice before interrupting a medical team.
Right. But I think, you know, we want to look at this against the broader context, which is that medical errors are a huge problem nationwide. And over the last few years, there have been a lot of efforts focused on empowering medical staffers to fight medical errors, to speak up when they see something that looks wrong, even if that means defying the medical hierarchy.
Okay, so right. It seems as if then the study is suggesting that the focus should be shifting, or is starting to shift, to empowering family members and patients to do that speaking up.
Right, not just staffers. And of course, that's tricky because you don't want to just be pestering the medical team when they're saving the life of your loved one. Dr. Bell says the balance of how families can speak up most helpfully needs to be explored. But she says loved ones are a real asset. They tend to be at the bedside 24/7, especially in the ICU.
They know the patient best. They can detect those early signs when things might be going wrong. They're present at transitions of care between different clinicians or different care teams. So they really have a vast amount of knowledge and experience often that can contribute to the best care for the patient.
And she says, you know, if you're at a loved one's bedside and you see something you're concerned about, lean in and at least let somebody on the care team know so they can decide whether to look into it.
On the flip side is that patients and families who don't speak up when there's a possible problem often end up carrying a lot of guilt if something in fact does go wrong. And sadly, it's not uncommon to hear amongst family members that they knew something wasn't quite right or that they had this concern but didn't speak up.
Okay, so one of the reasons why this, I bet you people listening are like, I totally get this, because who's going to say, hey, doctor, nurses, I noticed something, do I know things better than you who collectively have decades of professional experience in medicine?
Right. They absolutely have more expertise. They know medicine better, but you know the patient better is the point here. You know, I also spoke with Barbara Fain, the executive director of the Betsy Lehman Center. That's the state agency that aims to advance the safety and quality of healthcare.
And we should note it's named for the Boston Globe reporter who died from a chemotherapy error.
Right, Betsy Lehman, she was just 39. And Barbara Fain says mistakes happen in medicine actually much more often than most people imagine.
When patients end up being harmed, it's usually after a whole series of missed opportunities to catch the mistake. That's exactly where patients and families can play a key role. There's some really interesting studies that show that patients and family members are often better than doctors and nurses at detecting errors. And they're usually right.
Wow.
Right? Which makes sense, Barbara Fain says, because as Dr. Bell said, the patient or the family member has the most continuous sense of what's going on.
So people should trust their instincts much more than we know they do from all of this research. By speaking up about, say, a change in medication that they aren't aware the doctor ordered, or a sudden unexpected change in the patient's mental state or level of discomfort, they really can make a difference.
So you're hammering home the message here that that family members are probably the important source of continuity in the complex care of an ICU patient. I get it. But this brings up the important question then.
Yeah.
How should they speak up? What's the best way to do it?
Right, because it's so ticklish, right? So Barbara Fain says that, you know, it's even hard for her, and she works on patient safety, but it's hard to find just the right words that don't seem too confrontational.
Most people do best framing their concern as a question. So something like, that seems like a different dose or a different drug than I've been getting. Could you double check to make sure that's right? And it might help to remind yourself that you do have a right to have your questions and concerns answered respectfully and thoroughly.
And Dr. Bell says you might also directly ask for help. Like, I need help making sure my loved one is on the right track.
Okay, but what happens if you feel as if those concerns are not being addressed?
Okay, so you've tried.
You've tried.
So then Barbara Fain says you should reach out beyond your care team. So most hospitals have staff whose job is to meet confidentially with patients or families on issues just like these. They can be called patient relations or customer service, but that's what they're there for.
Okay. And family members, though, speaking up is only going to work if the medical staff is receptive to hearing that.
Right. And both Sigal Bell and Barbara Fain make this point that this is very much a question of hospital culture. And even though we're talking about what patients and families can do, it's actually up to hospital leaders to foster a culture where people are encouraged to speak up.
And they can do that by training, of course, training staff, building a strong safety culture, I guess, where people are not punished for reporting things. That's really important.
Right.
But, you know, they're not in the business of training patients and family members, though.
They're not exactly, but there is patient education that can make sense. And Barbara Fain says one strategy would be to put up posters in rooms or distribute flyers to people just to let them know that these conversations are encouraged and to give them the information they need to initiate them. But she does emphasize it'll only work if staffers are willing to hear what we say, and that has to come from leadership.
Okay, so Carrie, shall we take a step back here from the reporting and actually try this? Should we role play a little?
Okay, let's do that. Okay, so let me give you one.
Because it is a tickly thing you're talking
it's
about.
It's really tricky. Okay. Yeah, you really want the staff on your side. So here's a common one. Let's say, Meghna, that you see a medical staff member touch your loved one, and you're pretty sure the staffer didn't wash their hands first.
Okay.
What do you say?
I would hope that I would actually put on my Radio Boston host hat.
And, why are you doing that?
And maybe gently interrogate them and say, I'm curious about, you know, what the protocols are around hygiene and hand washing. That's what I would hope to do. But honestly, I'm not sure how I would approach that situation. Because again, I'm thinking the ICU is it's a place where things are so intense that I'm afraid I might not speak up at all.
Right. So this tells us that even training every day as a radio host
to ask questions all the time.
Yeah, it's still really hard. And this is why we need more research telling us exactly how we should be saying this stuff.
Wow. And more practice.
And more practice.
Well, Carrie Goldberg, editor of WBUR's Common Health, thank you so very much as always.
You're welcome.
And you can find a link to Carrie's story about this at radioboston.org. We'll be back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.